Thank you, the Word of God, as we have read it together, and especially in view of the verses 3 through 5, which we will read again. So that's 1 Peter 1, the verses 3 through 5. Where we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Peter, in his letter, had to remind the believers in Jesus Christ of their great privilege, of their glorious position as citizens of that one heavenly kingdom. Our text speaks then of an heavenly inheritance as an object of our Christian hope, and we hope to make this text our own by paying attention to the source, the content, and the certainty of this hope. Pay attention to the heavenly inheritance, which is the object of our Christian hope and expectation, and we'll pay attention to the source, the content, and the certainty of this hope. First of all, then, the source of this Christian hope. Now, it is the resurrection of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the actual source. The source of that new life which we have as God's people and about which we hear from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. It is when he arose from the dead that he arose in principle with all his chosen ones. They were buried with him into death, remember, and raised with him unto newness of life. Well-known words from the baptismal form. At Easter, then, the chains fell off. That death-like state of mankind, was broken through. Now, we were dead in our sins and trespasses. God raised us up with Christ to a new life. Well, there is then that great perspective, beloved, in that resurrection of our Savior. If he had remained in the grave, in the tomb, well, then we would have remained in darkness. We would have been boxed in by our sins and trespasses, by our selfish individualism so familiar to all of us. And we could have never become people that would say no of a singing soul. For people dead in sins and trespasses, they simply cannot sing. But then thanks be to our God. There was an open grave. And at that grave, well, we have every reason to sing of those great mercies of our God in whose name we have been baptized, of our God who raised us with Christ to a new life, to a new outlook. That God has shown us his mercy. Yes, his great mercy, Peter says. Now, as members of the human race, we were living in the midst of sin. Death and doom were all around us. We were living in a most miserable condition, and a condition that begged for mercy, for pity. Just as we take pity on those who are living in difficult circumstances. However, here there is a major difference. Our misery was steeped in sin and guilt. We had rebelled against the only true God. We had broken that covenant of favor that he came to establish with us mankind, establish with us back in paradise. But instead of condemning us to death, which we had deserved, which is in keeping with that capital crime he had committed, he had compassion on us and showed us his mercy. And that's how Peter comes to sing about this undeserved mercy, this great mercy. Now, beloved, I ask you, is that great mercy of God not indeed something to sing about every day with our psalms, with our hymns? cry out with great jubilation. For just imagine the God whose divine majesty we mankind insulted, whose fatherly love we simply dismissed as of no account. It is He who has come to look us up, and He who has come to fill our hearts with hope, and who has rooted that hope in the resurrection, now in the death and resurrection of his beloved, His only begotten Son. Through Him, our Savior has made us alive. For he who believes in Christ is a new creation, as Paul had to say. That's a new birth, a new way of life, and He keeps us alive with that living hope that has come our way through Jesus Christ, the risen one. Now, beloved, again, I ask you, what is life without this hope, without this perspective? If this hope is cut off, then how dark our life would be. Even though present-day man tries to cover up this darkness with his artificial lights, still it does not change for one iota the stark reality of our basic human predicament. Life without that living hope, as revealed by Christ's resurrection, remains pitch dark, and no artificial live-it-up parties will change the fact. In this man's natural circumstances, his basic human condition. We read about it every day in the paper. It's reflected in all the newscasts. Yeah, at the most you can speak with natural, with that hopeless man of an existence. But with him you cannot speak of life, a true life. Life in the full sense of the word. Indeed, natural man can pretend a lot. He can try to create some hope for himself. Yet we know that it is nothing but false hope. He can try to light up his existence with highfalutin theories or philosophies on a future utopia. But it will all to no avail. He will remain without hope. Those theories and philosophies will prove to be nothing more than an expression of self-deceit. And our beloved, over against this, there is that Christian hope, a living hope, a hope that will not let you down, a hope that makes and keeps you alive, a hope that also lifts your spirit, a hope that compels you to sing for joy. As Paul did, even though he was imprisoned. Read about it in Philippians. That was the hope of the Christians that Peter wrote his letter to. He wrote them this letter to remind them of this hope, because they were in the process of losing sight of it. He wrote to them so that they would learn to look beyond their immediate circumstances, beyond the things that they had to experience, had to endure for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the gospel, just as many brothers and sisters are experiencing again in the very same area that Peter had to write his letter to because of ISIS. But because knowing Christ is knowing the power of his resurrection, so that's how they overcome this depressed, terrible situation. And therefore knowing him and the power of his resurrection would make them immensely rich. And the same count for us, beloved, counts for all God's people everywhere. For we too are chosen by God in the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear of it officially every Lord's Day anew, and we can read of it every day for ourselves, as we do, as families, and also as individual members, to know that there is an immensely rich inheritance waiting for us. You know, we are already rich today, because of the certainty of receiving it. We are already rich because of that living hope, the hope that will allow us to sing even when things are difficult. When we have to face sorrow and sadness, when we have experienced heart-rending losses. Because this hope is a living hope. It is a hope rooted in a risen, living Savior. And that's how we have our Christian hope with respect to that heavenly inheritance, that heavenly treasure. And that's why we have learned to look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen, as we know, are transient here today and gone tomorrow. But the things that are unseen, as promised by our God, well, that's eternal. Does this living hope, rooted as it is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, prevent us from ever losing heart? It is a hope rooted in God, our God, in whose name we have been baptized, and according to his good pleasure, has given us the perspective of a new heaven and a new earth. It is rooted in him who said, "Behold, watch, I am making everything new." My beloved, it's clear this Christian hope has content, that in the second place. The apostle writes, "We have been given a new birth into a living hope, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, and is kept in heaven for you." Now, beloved, you have been born anew for the very purpose to receive that inheritance. An inheritance which is the object, which is the content of our Christian hope by which we live from day to day. This is inheritance that, of course, meant our everlasting salvation in the presence of God, in the presence of our Savior. With him there are all those treasures laid away for us in heaven. And these treasures are called here and everywhere in the Bible an inheritance, because we receive them through grace. Receive an inheritance, as you know, on the basis of a will, a testament, on the basis of someone say so. Yeah, we do not earn this inheritance. For whatever we receive by an inheritance has been earned by someone else. And that's how it is also with this heavenly inheritance. Surely we do not deserve it in any way. We receive it out of grace. It's undeserved favor. It is Jesus Christ, we know, who has earned it for us. And God, without being obligated in any way, has written our names in his testament, in his divine will. So this inheritance differs greatly from any inheritance that we might receive here on earth. The apostle tells us that in distinction from an earthly inheritance, this inheritance is imperishable. It does not spoil or fade away. Now, it's imperishable. It cannot be damaged, broken, or destroyed. This heavenly inheritance keeps the same value at all times. There is not an agent, there is not a power anywhere in all creation, in this whole world, that can damage, break, or destroy this heavenly treasure. And the word of our text reminds us of what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust are to destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." And secondly, it is inheritance cannot be spoiled, it cannot be tainted, it's not subject to corruption. It is without any defect, without any blemish. It glitters with glorious brightness, it sparkles with brilliant luster. Read Revelation 21 at home. Yeah, not anyone nor anything can stain or soil it. Its radiant glory will remain throughout all eternity. And thirdly, this inheritance does not fade away. Time will not diminish its blossoming splendor. It is not as with the flowers of the field here today and come tomorrow. No, this inheritance will keep its freshness, its newness, yeah, forever and ever. This inheritance is imperishable, immortal. Everything that belongs to it will shimmer forever in a most beautiful way. That's what you're looking forward to, are we not? And added to this assurance that it will not escape you, who are called by God to be his children. this inheritance is kept for you. For you in heaven. In heaven, without a doubt, the safest place in the whole universe. As you know, earthly treasures are stolen. They tend to disappear. The rich today can be poor tomorrow. Earthly possessions have always been subject to deflation and to decay. Many have disappeared as snow before the sun. While such disappointments do not await us with respect to our heavenly inheritance, our hope has as content an inheritance that cannot perish, does not spoil, and does not fade. And it is one that is kept safe for you in heaven. Again, it will not escape you and certainly will not disappoint you. Now, when you reach your heavenly habitation, well, when you see the splendor of your inheritance, well, you will clap your hands in surprising wonder. And you will cry out, how glorious, how wonderful. Now, how wonderfully glorious to see my God and Father, my Lord and Savior, and the great splendor of his surroundings. My beloved, do you see how Peter speaks to those dispersed Christians, those persecuted Christians of his day? How he goes all out to convince them that there is no reason for a believer, for a Christian, to go dejected, depressed through life? Even if you're only a slave, even if you have a cruel taskmaster, employer, even if they do not take you seriously anymore, do not reckon with you anymore, even if the glories of this world pass you by, in fact, but this doesn't really matter if it comes to the point. Are you any the less for it? Yes, does that in any way diminish that living hope of inheriting that imperishable heavenly treasure? And therefore, are we not going to cling on to this living hope at all costs? To obtain that one thing that's most needful, that is that everlasting inheritance, with the Lord Jesus at the moment of his death, yeah, and soon, real soon, of our death, I mean, the moment of our death, and soon, real soon, and who knows how soon already, with him and all the saints will enjoy on the new earth. And until we reach that day, beloved, let's keep on singing of that hope that will not deceive us. Now let's keep it awake from day to day in our heart, in our soul, in our minds. Yes, let us concentrate on this heavenly inheritance with heart, soul, and mind, lest it slips away, slips forever out of sight. And that brings us to our third and final point, the certainty of our Christian hope. Yes, beloved, what about that certainty? Perhaps we would be inclined to say, all right, I believe that this inheritance is gloriously rich and that it is safeguarded in heaven and that the man who receives knows that it is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading and that such a man who knows about it is sure to be envied. But how can we? Yeah, how can I be sure that we will share in this inheritance? Well, in our text we are told that we do not hope in vain, that our hope is not deceiving. Certainly, it is true if someone has assigned certain possessions to us in his will, well, that does not mean that he will in fact inherit them. However, that's altogether different, beloved, with our heavenly inheritance. For it is very much safeguarded in heaven for the believers. For the believers. God safeguards the inheritance for the heirs, and at the same time the heirs for the inheritance. And all these heirs, Peter has to emphasize, they are by God's power shielded through faith for this salvation that will be ready to be revealed in the last time, at our Savior's return. Now that salvation is then the same as that inheritance. That salvation is prepared, is obtained by our Savior Jesus Christ, lies ready to be revealed, to be manifested. One day the veil, which hides the fullness of that glorious salvation, will be lifted, so that it will lie in all its beauty and splendor at our feet. And that will come to pass at the last day. Yeah, when the trumpet of God will sound across this earth, and then he will make all things new. Read Revelation 21. Yeah, beloved, for that day you are being safeguarded. Because you are the objects of God's continuous care, which is promised to you already right from the moment of baptism, officially in your church. And therefore, you should not find it hard to sing in view of what is coming your way. Also you who may have it difficult, who are inclined maybe to sing a song of lamentation rather than a song of jubilation. Now do not lose sight then of God's safekeeping power in your present life. Do not be dismayed. Do not fear. The Lord is near. He keeps you as the apple of his eye, as we have it in Psalm 17. And when you die, you shall awake and shall see your Savior's face in righteousness and glory. Now indeed, how rich and full your joy shall be. Again, Psalm 17, the very end of it. That means, beloved brothers and sisters, boys and girls, no one can touch you. No one can snatch a believer out of God's hand. No mocker, no oppressor, no Satan. No one and nothing can prevail against God's power. His divine power is invincible, and he will use that power on your behalf. According to his promise, the promise is signed and sealed to you, for we belong to Christ, do we not? An almighty Savior. We belong to that risen, living Savior, and that's why we Christians may be absolutely sure that God will provide us with all things necessary for body and soul. He provides us with all good and avert all evil, or turn it to our benefit. We can't lose. He is able to do so as an almighty God and willing as our faithful Father. And that's why he shields and safeguards us by his great power, by his great mercy for the salvation ready to be revealed the last time. And this we then already will enjoy when it is our moment to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. There is then a great certainty for us believers. Yeah, indeed, for the believers. We are shielded by God's power through faith. There has to be faith, beloved. We are reminded here of our calling, of our responsibility to respond to God's promises as signed and sealed to us. That's our obligation. For let us understand that in this divine guarding, we are totally involved through our faith. With a believing heart, we must accept this heavenly inheritance, receive that imperishable, undefiled, and unfading treasure out of our Savior's hand. Again, we are involved. We are called then to be zealous in confirming our call and election to Peter 1. And if we do this, Peter says in the first chapter of his second letter, then we will never fail. Then we will be richly provided an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's guaranteed. Indeed, God does not treat us as stocks and blocks or puppets and marionettes. Again, he involves us heart, soul, and mind. And therefore, he also saves the form of baptism. We are to cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are to trust him and to love him with all our strength. We must not love the world, we continue, but put off our old nature and lead a God-fearing life. Now that's living in faith. It is through this faith that you will inherit that imperishable treasure which is safeguarded for us in heaven. So then, beloved of the Lord, let us realize this living hope through a living faith. A faith that we show every day in all that we say and do. For that's the way to obtain certainty. To live in certainty all the days of our life here on earth. And let us press on in faith to make that heavenly inheritance our own because Christ Jesus has made us his own. Well-known words from Paul. No, we do not consider that we have made it our own already. But one thing we will do, we will forget what lies behind and search forward to what lies ahead. And that's how we press on in faith and keep reaching out for that righteousness that comes from God. We want to reach our Savior. We want to share that great inheritance he has obtained for all those who believe. Well, beloved, let us. For if we are ready to do so, if we are zealously working out our salvation, if we have such a living faith, let us moan by its fruit in what we say and do, well, then this heavenly inheritance is ours. That's guaranteed. That's the certainty of the Christian faith. That's the certainty of that living hope. That's the certainty that compels us to sing. Keep on singing on all the circumstances of life. Keep on singing that song with Peter. Praise, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth, living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are shielded through faith until the coming of the salvation that's indeed ready to be revealed in the last time, that is, at our Savior's return. Solely, day of glory. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen.